and just a wonderful job, and it's good to see him sitting back there again. Amen. And we just want to honor them. I believe the Bible teaches us to give honor to one another, to those that excel and do so much today. So in the book of Mark, in the 10th chapter, reading verses 46 through 48. Most of you know these verses and probably know this man by name. You've heard preached about and taught in many different aspects throughout the years. But today we're going to bring a thought that the Lord has laid upon our heart in a different way. And the Bible says, and they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. And when he had heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, he began to cry out and say, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." And many charged him that he should hold his peace, but he cried the more a great deal, "Thou son of David, have mercy on me." And stop reading there with that 48th verse this morning. And I'd like to bring to you a message that the Lord has laid upon my heart entitled Distractions. Distractions. How many of us have distractions in our life? We have distractions that we have so much, to use a term that's coined by the world today, and you hear so often that we have so much on our plates that we are so distracted that it's hard for us to even stay focused for a few minutes of time in our life. These distractions that we come into our life and we feel like that we've really not dedicated any part of our life to a specific cause or need, because even while we're doing one thing, our mind is distracted by something else. The things that we know that we need to do are distracted and prevents us from doing them to the best of our ability. We know that as blind Bartimaeus here heard that Jesus was in town and that he had a need in his life, because he had sat there, no doubt, all of his life begging for alms as people would pass by, Brother Ray. He knew that he had a need, but even though the need was so profound, there was a distraction, because as he cried out to the Lord, those around him told him to be quiet. Hush. Be quiet. Maybe they thought that he was an embarrassment to them. Or maybe they thought that this was Jesus, the King of the Jews, and you're just a poor person. You ought not to bother him. Maybe they thought that Jesus had bigger things to take care of down the road, and his need was so trivial that it wasn't important. But to Bartimaeus, it was important. He could have sat there and kept his peace and said, "I was blind yesterday, I'm blind today, and I guess I'll be blind for the rest of my life." But instead of him listening to the distraction, in verse 48, it says he cried the more a great deal. How many times do we allow the distraction to take away our blessing that God has in store for us? How many times do we allow the distraction to come in our life, and when we know we need God and we need the church, but distractions come and take our thoughts, take our desires, take our even our energy away from us. There are some folks that couldn't be here today. It's not because of a distraction. It's because they have a legitimate reason. Sickness is not a distraction when you are incapacitated. But every other thing that we put between us and God, it is a distraction. And you know who sends most of the distractions into our life? It's the devil himself. To take our eyes off of God and off of our journey and our relationship with God, he sends a distraction in. Because I give you a good example today that many of us probably woke up this morning and we was tired. We could have said, I'm going to stay at home because I'm tired. I'm just wore out. And that distraction would have got the victory in our life. How many of you are glad that you come to church on this Sunday morning? Amen. Don't let the distraction get the victory. But let's let God get the victory in our life and in our soul. We put so many things before God. School that's getting ready to start back up, or our jobs, or things that we have, or things that we need to do. And I'm looking for Glenn. Ain't that right, brother? And we can allow those distractions to take us out of church, take us even out of our families, to separate us and allow the distractions to ruin our relationship with God himself. And I'll be one of the first ones to admit there are many times that I am scatterbrained. I am. I listened to my complaint for a minute, like Job said. I have so many different things that I'm trying to do and trying to accomplish with work and church and the house and the kids and the grandkids that we become scattered. And things distract us from the things that we should be doing and could be doing in our life. We need God. We need the church. And we don't, or we shouldn't allow any distraction come in between us and God. In the Bible, it teaches us that there are things that distract us along our journey. Paul said he had the thorn in the flesh that distracted him. But when he asked the Lord to remove it, the Lord said, my grace is sufficient for thee. How many of us say, Lord, you know about this distraction I have. I'm worried about the kids. I'm worried about the grandkids. I'm worried about my family. I'm worried about how I'm going to make it through this day. And I hear God to say, my grace is sufficient. God will bring us through it. He will help us if we don't allow the distraction to get the victory in our life. In Jeremiah, the 32nd chapter, Jeremiah's distraction was a prison cell. And in the prison cell, he said to himself, I'm not going to preach the gospel anymore. He allowed the distraction of people not accepting God's word and people speaking evil against him and them even putting him in prison, that he said, this distraction is so great, I'm not going to preach the gospel anymore. But then God spoke to him and he said, I can't be quiet. His word is like fire shut up in my bones. How many of you know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin, that when you get distracted and God sends by the sweet Holy Spirit, that it speaks to you and you say, why did I allow that to come between me and God? I wrote these down because I think they're important. You know what distractions do? They lead us to make excuses. How many of you are good at making excuses? It's good to confess this morning. It's good to confess. Distractions cause us to lose focus. And I don't say this to hurt anybody's feelings, but, you know, I oftentimes think that I've got ADHD or some other concentration problem. And I don't want to offend anybody. I've had it most of my life, if not all of it. And Mom and Dad kept it under control when I was young because they had a belt or a switch. Amen? And now Becky has to try to keep it under control. And she has a hard job. She does. Distractions cause us to lose focus on what is really important. And folks, let me declare to you on this Sunday morning that there is nothing more important than God, family, and country. Amen? Nothing more important. I often say in messages, you can replace the house, you can replace the car, you can replace most anything that you have that is tangible, but you cannot replace God and you cannot replace your family. Distractions lead us to blaming others. Something happens and then we see it very visible in society today. Something happens and they want to blame somebody else for what they did. When it comes down to it, nobody is responsible for your actions except for you. You and I are responsible for our action or our lack of action. We can't blame anybody else. All we can do is look up and say, God, help me to keep my focus. To keep my focus. Even in the Bible, there was people that gave Jesus excuses. You remember the man that was there at the stirring of the water. Jesus asked him, said, will you be made whole? And he said, I can't. Every time the water is troubled, somebody else beats me into the pool. And Jesus said, be made whole. You know what Jesus did? He removed the distraction. Distractions lead to us not accomplishing our goals. How many of you got goals in your life? How many of us has our goals changed over the years? Yeah. When I was younger, I had a goal. I had my eyes on it, but during the journey, I lost focus. How many of you have ever had to face defeat? You know why? And I'm just being blunt this morning. Distractions came in our way. And it brought defeat. In a natural realm. And even in a spiritual realm, Brother Sharp, that distractions came. And we lost focus. And we didn't feel the Lord like we once did. We didn't go to church like we once did. And we didn't worship God like we once did. But when we realize what's really important in life, it's not the goals that we set that really matters. It's the accomplishment of those goals. And the biggest goal that we ought to have in our life is to be in church and to bring up the name of Jesus Christ before a lost and dying world, that they might be saved before it is everlasting too late. David lost focus. There was something that distracted David when he should have been off at war. It was a year that the kings went off to war, and David stayed at the house because he saw something that caught his eye. It was Bathsheba, and she was up on the roof bathing. David had more wives than he knew what to do with. Right? You Bible readers know that he had way too many. What was it? 700 or 300? Huh? Or Solomon, I'm sorry. Seven wives. There we go. His son was even bigger trouble. Too many wives, and this time he got his eyes on Bathsheba, and he became distracted. Can I put this in for a good measure? Men, keep your eyes on your own lady. Wives, keep your eyes on your own man. Amen? Because anybody else's will get you in trouble. And the church said, amen. David got distracted, and David had to pay for it with the loss of the child. Not just that, but you can disagree with me this morning, but I believe that not only that, but David paid for it in years to come with the loss of his son that was killed by another son, and he killed his brother because his brother raped his daughter or their sister. And not just that, but God said, David, you cannot build the church because you have blood on your hands. And I believe that David mourned over that for the rest of his days. But he did do part of it because he said, Lord, restore unto me the joy of my salvation. And he started collecting funds to help build the temple. Let me move on. John the Baptist in the book of Matthew in the 11th chapter was in prison, and he became distracted by uncertainty because he was there in prison, and he asked him to go. He heard that Jesus was in town. He sent his disciples over to say, are you the one to come, or should we look for another? And John knew it was him. How many of us have ever said, Lord, is that you? When we knew it was the Lord. And they brought back the word from the Lord. The blind receive their sight, and the deaf or ears are open, and the lame are made to walk, and the poor have the gospel preached to them. I believe that John, even as they took his head and put it on a charger, he was praising the Lord. This is the Messiah. He's here with us today. And then we have distractions that come from others that we know. Family and friends. How many of you have ever gotten in trouble because of a family or friend along life's journey? Nobody wants to confess. Thank you, brother. We get in trouble because of family and friends. And as Ray was teaching in Sunday school this morning, I thought Job got distracted by those three miserable friends that he had. Church, this morning we need to watch who we hang around with, because they'll get you distracted. And I got to preach for a few more minutes. If you hang around with folks that drink and do drugs, you'll become distracted. Can I get an amen? Amen? You are known by the people you keep company with. And if you're not careful, they'll distract you. Every one of you could have been somewhere else on this Sunday morning had you listened to a friend or a family member. You say, Roger, you pastors are all the same. You always want us to be in church every time the doors are open. That's what God wants. Last year I got in trouble because I preached at a funeral. And it was a family member, and I told him, I said, it's a shame that our family, that the only time we get together is at funerals. And one of my cousins put together a family reunion, and lo and behold, they always do it on a Sunday. And she got upset that I didn't attend, and she said, you're the one that said we ought to get together, and then you didn't show up. I'm not going to allow family or friends to distract me from what I love the most. And that is the Word of God, being in the house of God, and preaching the gospel to a lost and dying world. Let my family forsake me. I've got a bigger family. Even in the church, we get distracted. You're quiet this morning. We get distracted by looking at other people's lives. And some of you know about other people's lives. And what the devil will put on your mind is that if they're good enough, I'm good enough. Let me declare to you today, none of us was good enough. Every one of us was a sinner that God saved by His amazing grace and made us part of His big family. We can't look down our nose at anybody and say, I am better than they are. The only thing that separates me from the world's vilest sinner is the touch of God upon our life. Praise His name. We can't look at anybody else and say, look at that person. Because Jesus even said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners unto repentance. That's where our focus ought to be, church. We're distracted in church by somebody talking in front of us. Because you see, you can't see behind you. Some of y'all get that. I believe when it comes to church time, there ought not be any distractions other than somebody saying amen, praise the Lord, or hallelujah. Whatever it is that you need to talk about, it can be talked about after church. I got to do my pastor duty this morning. Or somebody moving. Let me tell you, we was raised in a church that was small, just a little church. When we went in the door, before we went in the door, some of you are going to be shocked by this, but we grew up in a church that had an outside John. And before we went in, Mom and Dad said, you better go to the bathroom if you have to use it, because once church starts, there was no getting up and walking around. The devil will use that as a distraction. We didn't have a water fountain. We had a water bucket. And the kids weren't allowed to drink out of it until the adults had their fill. Because who'd want a kid slobber, right? I guess that's why they did it. Church is sacred. And we don't need distractions in the church house. And then some of us are distracted thinking about your situation today. You're thinking about what are you going to do to change your situation and the seriousness of it. Not to embarrass them this morning. I wouldn't do that. Y'all know me better. But these folks need help today. They could sit there and think the whole time of the service, what are we going to do? Some of you are in greater need than they are because you don't know Jesus Christ in the free pardon of sin. How many of us know that the greatest need we have is to know Him? First and foremost is to know Him. We ought not let anything distract us, but we ought to stay close to God and stay close to His Word. Some of you are distracted because you're thinking about things you're going to do after church or this week. You know what? God may cancel every one of your plans by calling you home or by laying you flat on your back. I believe this today. When our plans are so full that we don't include God, God can put us on our back. God says, and I believe this, God has a right to say, if you ain't going to work for me, you're not going to work for anybody. You say, you're hard on a Sunday morning. Don't you know we got visitors? Some of you are distracted because God speaks to your heart and the devil starts speaking to you. You say, how do you know it's the devil? Because he spoke to me. When I was under conviction, Brother Nick, and I knew I needed the Lord, it was the devil that was giving me every distraction through excuses why I should not get right. Why I should not go to the altar. I would lose my friends as if I had a bunch to begin with. Right? You'll never have another good time. You'll be ostracized if you get saved. You'll be out there and people will laugh at you and mock you. And I say today, as I said a few weeks ago in a message, people are always going to find a reason to laugh at you and mock you. I'm 58 years old and they still laugh at us and mock us. Because we don't act like them. If I have to act like them to fit in, let them laugh. Let them talk about us. You see, I've got something on the inside that the world did not give to me, but God gave it to me. And I am more proud and honored of that than anything else I have in this world. When we look at things that distract us, we ought not let anything come between us and God. We ought to ask God to help us to remove the distractions. And be careful how you pray. Right? Because God might just remove that distraction. And then you'll be saying, God, why did you do that? God will get His glory either through us or He will remove us. He will remove us. In my closing this morning, don't let the distraction win. But be like Bartimaeus. Y'all can come. And cry out the more the loud. If he were to listen to his so-called friends, he would have died blind. But instead of listening to them, he said, I've heard what this man can do. And he cried out the more the loud, Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. And the Bible says that the Lord stood still and commanded him to be called. And they said to the blind man, be of good comfort. Listen at this. Rise, he calleth thee. Has anybody else found that astonishing? That the Lord would stop and call a blind man and send people to him and say, the Lord calleth for you. A blind man walking to where the Lord was at. Isn't that a wonderful picture? You say, how did he make it to the Lord? Was it the men that went there that helped him? I believe that even though his eyes was blind, he could see where the Lord was at. He heard his voice, and he went to where the Lord was at, and he arose casting away his garment and came to Jesus. And Jesus asked him a simple question, "What wilt thou that I should do unto thee?" And the blind man said unto him, "Lord, that I might receive my sight." He did not allow the distraction, Brother Mark, to stand between him and the Lord. This morning, don't let the distraction stand between you and God. And Jesus said unto him, "Go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." And immediately this blind man received his sight. What a change of events. How many of you today, and you don't have to raise your hand or say amen, but how many of you today need events changed in your life? And you've been there for a long time. And it's never changed. Can I close today by saying the reason why it's never changed is because there are too many distractions. You're listening to those that tell you to be quiet. You're listening to those that tell you church is just for old folks. Church is just for people. And I thought about this as the Lord and I were talking on the way to church today, Sister Lee. People say, "Why do you go to church so much?" And I'll give you an example of why. Because we live in a sin-filled world that's getting more and more corrupt each and every day. And by being in this world, the world gets on us. How many of you work around people that curse and use profanity? And you're around people that take leisure and drinking and drugs. We're in a sin-filled world. We need a church to come and get cleansed from the inside, and it will show up on the outside. And not allow any distraction come along the journey. While we stand and they sing a verse of a song of invitation, I ask you this morning, are you distracted? If you are, it's because the devil is trying to stop you from getting what God has in store for you. While they sing, why don't you come this morning? You're amongst friends. Anybody else that will say in your heart, "I need to answer the call of the Lord," and not listen to the distractions that are all around me? Sing on, Robbie. Follow your heart today. To hang on to God and hang on to the world, which is impossible. It's impossible today. You're distracted. Your heart wants to go one way and your mind is going another. But you need to follow your heart. Follow your heart today. And get right with God. Well. Are you happy with your life today? Are you where you should be with God? Or are you standing there and your heart is about to leap out of your chest because you know you need to make this move? What distraction is there that's worth your relationship with God? What is there? What is there? This morning, as they pause, I was, sometimes I'm in such deep thought that sometimes Becky won't even ride with me. Because I'm in such deep thought that, anybody ever been in such deep thought that you look around and you say, how did I get here? And this message been on my heart. And I remember going back to our childhood that when we had homework, an early lesson. When we had homework, Mom and Dad would turn off the TV, put us at the kitchen table, and they would take away any distraction. We couldn't talk. And I said to TV, we only had three channels, right? Maybe four if you had VHF or UHF. I'm not sure which one is which. Thank you, Robbie. He had four channels also. 5, 9, and 12, and 19. See, I haven't lost all my memory. And they would make us be quiet. We did our homework. And it wasn't after we got in from playing. Homework came first. They kept us focused. And if we didn't do our homework, not only did we get in trouble at school, but we got in trouble at home. Can I say this? That's what's part of the downfall of America, is that there's too many distractions in our life. Too many distractions. Have you enjoyed being in the house of the Lord on Sunday morning? God bless you. We're going to change. And June, you and Annetta and I got another one back there. Yeah, if y'all get ready. Some of you can get ready in the ladies' room. Some of you can get ready back here. I'll go over here. Robbie, if y'all sing us a song, I'll get changed quickly. We've got, I said these today, these sisters and this young baby that's with us, 3 months old. And he grabbed hold of my finger and he's got a strong grip, all right? But they need some help this morning. And, sometimes, how many of y'all had through the years has been in a place where we needed help? Somebody didn't hear my question. How many of us through the years has been in a position where we needed help? Okay? So I ask you, while we change and they sing a song, we get Terry and Mark, if y'all wouldn't. We got our, my mind is still on the message this morning, but if we'll get you to come and also, you know who I'm pointing at. Okay, Nick, there we go. I told you sometimes I'm scattered brain to come, and I think we ought to help them today, and not to give you all the details because I may even have them wrong, but her husband is in, son's dad is in jail for domestic violence. And let me say this, no real man ever hits a woman. Amen. If you got to hit something, go outside and hit the ground. Hit a 2x4. That way you won't do it anymore. And him being in jail, he took the keys to the house. He's got everything that she has nothing. Is that right? And they need help. So I ask you to help them today. Would you do that? do that today as I change and get ready.